Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for, Lord, the privilege to gather as we come to share your word. Lord, I recognize my limitations and great inability to share this word. And so, Lord, I humble myself under your mighty hand and under the covering of my spiritual fathers. I ask for fresh mercy and unction so your word will flow out of me, Lord, like a stream of living water. Let it come in power, in clarity, in simplicity, and in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, accomplishing an internal, eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the light of revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that Christ will increase in us, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for, Lord, undercovering, backing these words with great power, so that, Lord, as it goes forth, yokes will be broken, veils will be torn and removed, strength will come to our feet and our ankle bones, helping us, Lord, to be willing in this day of your power and to be doers of all that we hear, bringing forth fruit that will glorify you and will be well pleasing in your sight, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask for mercy, Lord, for myself, Lord, to be concise and precise, to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, Lord, so that, Lord, out of the treasure of this world, you bring forth things new and old as you will. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you come and take full control. Help me not to speak of myself, but help me, Lord, to speak of you and speak of that which our fathers have deposited deep within our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. All right, praise the Lord. We're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. We've been on this for some time now. And in our last lesson, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 17 to 20, we saw that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was reassuring the brethren that they are not alone. Brethren, we are not alone. God is with us, amen? In every situation that you find yourself, in everywhere you go, God is with you, amen? And even though you may not feel that presence tangibly, it's there. And God wants us to learn how to tap into that presence. And also, he has given us true spiritual shepherds, apostolic fathers he has set in the church, you know, who are with you, even though they're not physically with you, they're with you in the spirit. Amen. Through spiritual connection, they're with you in heart. The Bible says that we are taken away from you for a short time in your presence, but not in heart. So there is a heart connection. And that heart connection is our responsibility to make sure that that connection is open. Amen. All right, so there's a heart connection between us and spiritual oversight. And they are the leaders with a heart like David's, who don't leave you alone. Even when you don't appreciate it, they stick with you. Amen. They are there so that they can stand with you when you face the lion. You're not alone. When you face the bear, you're not alone. They make sure that you overcome. Amen. And so it's important to make sure that we keep our hearts open. The Bible says, be enlarged, so that we can receive the spiritual nourishment, the wisdom, the encouragement, the comfort. You know, don't suffer in silence. We said that last week, that it's important to, you know, see them, talk to them, you know, bring things out to them. Don't hide. You know, you don't hide from God. Run to God. Amen. And in running to God and running to oversight, things can only get better. I said things can only get better. Amen. All right, that's the beginning of a solution. We also saw that it's important to follow them closely, because instructions build one on the other. So it's one on the other. So don't pick and choose instruction. Make sure you're following very closely the way Elisha followed Elijah very closely. He marked him. And that's how you close mark him. You know, like we say in football, all right? You know, you stand with your man and you follow through and make sure that you stay very close to them, so that as you obey the instructions, you receive full nourishment. We said last time we were in this book that you receive nourishment, no, from the head, you receive nourishment from the body, and both are important. Amen. For a balanced spiritual nourishment, you need both, you know, so that we can grow up, and have the full complement of eternal life flowing into our souls, flowing into our members, helping us to overcome every persecution that we face. We are overcomers. And we overcome by the flow of the life of God in our hearts and from our hearts into your soul and body and your circumstances. That's how we overcome. So it's very important to make sure that we stay connected. And we mentioned specifically last time that our Good Morning Jesus prayers are specifically for this purpose. Amen. That's the cyber connection. You must stay connected in the cyber upper room, in that place, I'm sure you should be there in Jesus' name. In that place, yokes have been broken. There are mighty declarations that cover every sphere of your life. Even if you didn't know you had the declaration goes for, just latch onto it. And it breaks yokes, and things that you could not break by yourself, they are broken in the group together. Amen. And then you rise upward by the grace and the mercy of God. These prayers are every day. They're daily, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Using the Zoom app. We'll hear more about that. And we also spoke about faithful attendance to church services. Don't say, I can listen to it on the internet. Sometimes the internet is bad, and then you need to also get nourishment from the fellowship with the brethren. It's not just the word. There's a fellowship that you get from coming to church with the brethren, and that's important, all right? And we learned from the examples of the lives of Stephen and Paul that it takes balanced spiritual growth through a spiritual connection to manifest the glory and then to fulfill destiny. Stephen manifested the glory, but he didn't live to fulfill the fullness of his destiny because it was important that he stay fully connected. God will help us to stay fully connected in Jesus' name. Then we went on to see later on in the following verses that maturing spiritual children who understand the unity of the Spirit. What is the unity of the Spirit? The unity of the Spirit is the flow of eternal life amongst us as a body. Through forgiveness, through submission, through prayer, through asking life for others. There is a flow of that life. And, for godly oversight, true shepherds, the aim is to raise up spiritual children who understand unity and maintain it. Because it is I and the children that manifest the glory. Amen. All right, so it's mature spiritual oversight and fully submitted followership that manifests the glory. And, the will of God is for us, to maintain that unity. The Bible talks about endeavoring to maintain unity of the Spirit. So the same Zoe that is flowing in Christ flows through mature spiritual oversight and gets to you and I. Amen. And when it gets to you and I, it makes us grow so that, Christ becomes more manifest in our lives. People begin to see the Christ in us. We become, and that begins to attract people. And the more people that come, the critical mass that God needs to manifest the glory continues to be built. Amen. And when we hit the required number, there's an explosion of the glory. Amen. In our lives. And that's the will of God for us. And we said that for this to be so, we must partake of the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at Isaiah 25 verse 6. We just look at this scripture quickly. Isaiah 25 verse 6. Let's read it together. Are you with me, brethren? All right. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people what? A feast of fat things. A feast of wine on the lees. Of fat things full of marrow and of wines on the lees well refined. Bible talks about it in Joel, talking about the former and the latter rain. So this feast is necessary to build us up and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Like Pastor explained, Pentecost, or being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking it, which is the initial evidence of which is speaking in tongues, allows you to taste of the powers of the ages to come. But tabernacles, because it grows us up into maturity, allows us to manifest the powers of the ages to come. So it's really important and critical that we partake of this feast, because it is the different feasts that are preparing the different armies. We spoke about the different armies. There's Gideon's army that's changing into Joel's army that's eventually going to become Ezekiel's army. One in the hundreds, one in the thousands, and then the other one in the millions. Okay, and these armies are being prepared by the different feasts. So what you eat spiritually is important. You can't afford to pick and choose, you know, and I don't eat beans. I don't eat, but no, you can't say, I don't want protein. I want only carbohydrate. No, you must eat everything you are given. Amen. And if you look at the type of Daniel, the Holy Spirit was reminding me, Daniel's diet affected his destiny. Amen. In Babylon, Daniel chose to go with the diet that God had said they should eat, even though they were in a foreign land. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw him, they also joined together with him. And the Bible says these four were at least 10 times better. And all those that ate the other food, when the robber met the road, it was Daniel and his brothers that delivered them. When the king said they were going to begin, it was Daniel and his brothers. Their destiny was affected by their diet. Your diet spiritually can affect your destiny. Cease to hear instructions that take you away from things that will build you up spiritually and will corrupt the word of God that God has put there in your heart. It's very important. So we feed with the full complement of the diet that God has prepared for us, and we grow up to fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. So we're going to begin chapter 3 this morning. We'll see how far the Lord helps us. Amen. Let's begin from chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. Next verse. And sent Timotheus, our brother, I can't hear you, our brother and fellow minister and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to do what? Establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Next verse. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You have an appointment with affliction, and you're going to overcome it in Jesus' name. I said it like that to say I can wake up. Some people are looking drowsy. Next verse. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. It's not a surprise. It didn't take you by surprise. Next verse. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Our labor will not be in vain in Jesus' name. All right, let's go back to verse 1. Amen. Well, we see the apostle Paul here saying that by standing fast with the Thessalonian brethren in the place of deep intercession. This is the key now. In the place of deep intercession, the Holy Spirit showed Apostle Paul exactly what the brethren were going through. You can hear some news about something, but you need to hear what God is saying about what you heard. It's very important so that we are not moved by what we hear. We're not moved by what we see. We are moved by what God says about what we heard and what we saw. Very important. Okay, and so he was able to tell exactly how they were doing and what they needed to keep them standing strong spiritually and to provide what they needed. That's what spiritual fathers do. They provide what you need to stand strong. And true spiritual fathers care about you genuinely. They truly care about your spiritual state. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 23 and 24. Let's read it together. Proverbs 27, right. Let's read it together. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. God, stop. You need to know the state of your flock, not the state of their finances, the state of them spiritually, the state of their heart, the state of their obedience, the state of their mind, where their mind is. You must know. Next verse. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The legacy that God wants to perpetuate is not a physical legacy. It's a spiritual legacy. Amen? And we need to understand that legacy is something that fathers understand and establish. These are true eunuchs. They are eunuchs for the kingdom. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. They are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven whose goal is to establish the legacy. Legacy is not money. You know, people The Bible talks about it. No, we all want to leave some kind of legacy for our children, houses and children and material wealth to make them come, so they don't begin from where we were, so they stand on our shoulder. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's very valid. But the legacy that you really should make a priority is their spiritual legacy. You know, that is the real legacy. It says for there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves. They didn't make them. They made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he says, he that is able to receive it, receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. You need to receive it too. All right? I'm sure you've heard this. You heard this in this church. No permanent friends. No permanent enemies. Only permanent interests. The interests of the true eunuchs. So give God a super hand for our fathers. Thank God. Thank God for the fathers God has given us. No. So that is their aim. Their aim is to know your spiritual state. And once they know it, they come to you and ask you if everything is okay. And that's your opportunity to connect to the wisdom and the power and the comfort and the peace that God wants to give you. Amen. It's very important. And this is also how we should be in all our relationships. Our loyalty must supersede loyalty to men. It's very important. Your loyalty is not to a man. Your loyalty is to God and then to the man. Amen. It's very important. You know, Bible says that we know no man after the flesh. So you don't relate with people purely based on what you see or what you hear. Otherwise, you know, you will trust your enemies and you will confide in your enemies and you will push away your friends. Remember, Bible says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Enemies can kiss. They kiss. And when they kiss you, thank you. The person really loves me. And he's an enemy. And Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend. Thank you. Judas kissed Jesus and was going to betray him. Amen. And God says that faithful are the wounds. So friends they can wound you when you need to be wounded to get you on the path of destiny. Amen. Nathan spoke to David and said, "Sir, thou art the man." Told him to his face, "Thou art the man," because his loyalty was first to God. And he needed to tell David so that David could recover himself out of the snare that he already was, and he didn't even realize it, that he was in a snare. All right, so this is extremely important, and we must stop being fearful and selfish in our relationships with others. Amen. You know, putting our own interests first. It's fair that I don't want her to be angry with me. I don't want her to say that my own is too much. I don't want her to. And these are things that she needs to hear. And you are keeping it from her. That's not love. That's not the love of God. Okay, so, but if you are staying in a place of intercession, like we said earlier on, you will know what they need. There is a time for open rebuke. There is a time for secret love. There is a time for encouragement. There is a time for comfort. There is a time for prayer, where all you do is just pray. You don't say anything yet. It's the Holy Spirit that shows us what to do at each point in time. Amen. And when we do that, then we're putting God first. Look at John 5:30 in the Amplified Bible. John chapter 5, verse 30. This is instructive. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amplified. Thank you. Let's read it together. "I am able to do nothing for myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I would judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide." You know, it's very important. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right It is just, it is righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who sent me. Amen. This is how this should be our guiding principle. I've had mommy talk about this so many times. No, to be faithful. No, to this is what I'm not looking for. What you is what you want. I'm not looking for what I want. I'm looking for what God wants. I'm willing to stand that ground, even to face persecution. You know, in standing that ground, and whereas you could have taken an easier path. That's true leadership. That's true fatherhood ministry. And that's what we also must grow up to become in our own relationships with our children, with our parents, natural parents, with our friends. You know, we must make this the compass, as it were, that allows us to understand, you know, how to make the right decision, seeking God's will first and putting agape love into operation and not feel you. Amen. Look at an example in John chapter 11. Verses 3 to 7. John chapter 11. Quickly. Start from verse 3. Alright. So let's read together. So the sisters. It's the story of Lazarus. So the sisters. Let's read it from verse 1. Quickly. Verse 1. Right. Thank you. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. Next verse. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick, for the avoidance of doubt. Okay, next verse. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. You get news. You get information. But you don't let that be the only thing you hear. You have to hear from God about what you heard. Next verse. And when Jesus heard that, when he heard what God said, this is the news that we hear. But Jesus heard both the news and what God said about the news. And this was his response. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. Next verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Next verse. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Does that make sense? Bible is telling you that he really loved him. So there was emotional affinity between them. There was filial between them. Okay? There were people that were known to him. And he heard that they were sick. And then, I don't want this. The first thing was, God, I am bidding to decide as I am told to decide. I decide as I am bidding to decide. So God said, no, you stay back and you wait. To accept it, and you pray and fast. Amen. Amen. We must not respond in the flesh. We respond in the spirit. Look at verse 43 quickly. As we see how it ended. And when he had thus spoken, he cried. You're not crying. He cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. Next verse. And he that was dead 4 days came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Next verse. Then, many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did what? Believed on him. That was God's end point. That was God's end point. So Lazarus was already done deal. He was going to be taken care of. So brethren, we need to understand that God's will in our relationships is the best thing that you could ever hope for. Amen. Don't settle for less than God's perfect will. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. All right. All right. Next verse. So we'll go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 now. Now Timothy, let's look at that. Verse 2. Let's go back. And send Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. Why Timotheus? Why did they send Timothy? They give us the reason right here. we see his credentials. He was a brother. Everybody say brother or sister, depending on which one. He was minister of God and was a fellow laborer. Those were three core qualities that allowed him to be the one that they sent. He was somebody that labored in deep intercession, like Epaphras. Amen? That's what we call fellow laborer. Laborers, the plowmen that labor. And look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Very quickly, Colossians 4:12, quickly. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, doing what? Laboring what? Fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Timothy was a prayer warrior. He was a prayer warrior. He was in the army of God. So it was a, we need somebody who is in the army, who can correct things, whatever he sees when he's on the ground. It's not, no. And so that's number one. He had to be a laborer. Somebody who was skilled in the place of intercession. Brethren, you need to be skilled in intercession. Amen. We're not going to get into our inheritance except by intercession. Amen. God's going to help us in Jesus' name. All right. The next one, he labored to study and meditate in the word. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse very quickly. But 2 Timothy 2, 15. 15, the verse before. Thank you. What does it say? Study to do what? Show thyself approved unto God, a workman. His work. His labor. His work. It takes effort to study. It takes time you have to set apart. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's another quality that he had, was why he was sent. And then he also was somebody who labored to maintain the unity of the Spirit. It's very important. Look at that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1-3. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 quickly. Thank you, Lord. Say, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. There is a vocation or work or lifestyle or discipline that we have been called to. Next verse. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Next verse. What's the next word? Endeavoring. That's the labor. Endeavoring to what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So as Timothy was going over to Thessalonica, he was connected by unity to Paul and the brethren that were in Athens. So he was an extension of Paul physically in Thessalonica. And so the power of God through Paul, through Timothy's spirit, could flow to the Thessalonian brethren. It's very important. You send people whose spirits are open. Amen. God sends people whose spirits are open. So it was his submission and obedience to the discipline of the Christ life that anointed him and qualified him to be sent. Look at Psalm 45. It's very important, brethren. You know, there's anointing for service, like coming to fivefold ministry. But truly, our everyday life, we're anointed. Our everyday life, I said, your everyday life is anointed. I said, your everyday life is anointed. Yes, you can, and you can increase the anointing. You can increase the anointing. Look at Psalm 45. It speaks of the Lord Jesus and also speaks of us. Verse 6. Thank you. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Next verse. Thou what? Lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, what is therefore for? Is to tell us what is therefore. Because he has loved righteousness and what? Hatest wickedness. Therefore, God thy God had what? Anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. It applies to us as well. The degree to which we love righteousness. and we hate wickedness, to that degree we carry an anointing. Amen. We carry the anointing of God upon us. And you know, it's just like Gehazi. They sent Gehazi with the staff. And they told him to go and raise up somebody who they said was dead. And the staff was with Gehazi. Said, don't talk to anybody. Gehazi got there and nothing happened. Why did it happen? Because Gehazi was not walking in the discipline that Elisha had walked in. Even though he was physically with Elisha, he was not with Elisha in heart. Amen. But Paul, Timothy was not like that. He says, I have nobody like-minded who will do exactly what I want, who cares for the things of the kingdom, the things of Christ. You know, it's very important. So it's a heart connection. But you see, the labor in the word, the labor in prayer, the labor in love, long-suffering, you know, by the life of God, is what qualifies that person to carry the anointing so that he can go there and comfort the brethren. Because that's what the brethren needed. They needed comfort. You need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. You need the presence of the Holy Spirit. So you have to have someone who's connected to the power grid. So that when the person gets there, power will flow. Amen. All right? That's the will of God. And it's the same thing Paul himself did. Okay? When we see in Acts 14:22, when he said that he and Barnabas went, confirmed the disciples, letting them know that it's too much tribulation, they will enter into the kingdom. They were comforting them. So Paul had done his bit. Now it was Timothy's turn to do his bit. And brethren, it's going to be your turn someday. Amen. Alright, so you need to stay connected. Amen. Alright, next verse. Verse 3. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Right. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. If this was possible to remove this verse from the scripture, people would have tried. Bible says you have been appointed thereunto. You have been appointed thereunto. You didn't say amen. You have been appointed thereunto. Brethren, it is a great honor to go through tribulation. It is to go through affliction. For the kingdom's sake. Not for our own foolishness sake. When you finish, take that one and repent and don't do that again. But to go through it for the kingdom's sake is a great privilege. It's a great privilege. And you know what it does? It confirms to us that you're on the right path. The Bible says all day, 1 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy 3:12 says all day that will live godly in Christ shall what? Suffer. Only the pastors are talking about it. Brethren, all they that will live what? In shall what? Bible says that you shall not be moved. There is a river that is flowing. Amen. The streams whereof make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of her. So, you know, we should not be afraid. Bible already said, we know the answer. We have looked at the end of the book and we win. Pastor has taught us that we win. Look at the end. We already won. So, because we already won, the Bible says that you should not be moved. Because it's going to work together for our advantage. Amen. But it's important to understand. Yes, thank you. It's a river, the stream. Yes, Holy Spirit, tabernacles of God. Amen. Next verse. Amen. Amen. Next verse. God is where? This river is the river of life. It's the river of life. When you say Jesus, they might have life. Is that river? You just put your cup in and you are drinking. Amen. Bible says if you are drinking of that life, you shall not be moved. That's the will of God. It says she shall not be moved. God shall what? Help her. And that where? 5 a.m. 5 a.m. Right early. Right early. Right early. Right early. Amen. Amen. Next verse. Amen. Next verse. Right. So through this river, you know, with the power from the river, when the heathen are raging, when God will utter his voice through your mouth and he will split your enemies. So we already know that we are going to say we are winners. We are winners. Amen. So we already know that we win. That is the will of God. But it's also important to understand that Christianity is not a pleasure ride. Christianity is not a pleasure ride. It's not a ride of pleasure and ease. You know, come to Jesus so that you can get a visa, so you can get a husband, so you can get a wife. You can get all those things without really coming to Jesus. That's just the truth. You can get roses without really coming to Jesus. So it's important to understand, why do we then come to Jesus? We come to Jesus because we want to fellowship with Him. We want to know Him. We want to learn warfare. No, the way He overcame. Bible says He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. We also want to learn to be obedient by the things that we suffer. And then we overcome and sit with Him in His throne. That's why we want to come to Jesus. That's why we are coming to Jesus, not because of the physical things, but because of our inheritance that our eye on. So your eyes on the goal right from the beginning. Amen. And we say we crucify that mentality as a mentality to compromise, you know, to hide when the rubber meets the road and when things get tough, when there's affliction, when there's pressure, there's a tendency to hide, you know. But the Bible says, and this was in our daily rema 4 or 5 days ago, beautiful, you know, that we should arm ourselves with a militant mentality. Amen. Look at it, 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1. Amen. This is going to be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read together. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, do what? Arm yourself. So it's an armor. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So you can have a mindset. Bible is talking about that title of that thing was imitating God. Alright? The same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. When you have a mindset that I'm going to do the will of God, irrespective of whether it favors me or does not favor me, the Bible says that you have already, just by having that mindset, you have already insulated yourself from certain things. And you have ceased from sin. Because that mindset will take you in a particular direction. You've set your eyes towards the north. And so God just helps you get there. Look at the next verse. Verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Next verse. For the time part of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings. No, no, this ease. Miliki Express. You know, this Miliki Express. No, Christianity is not there. It's not there. So no, Christians, that everything is jamboree, Jesus is good, you know, and nothing happens. Everything is going there. The Bible says their eyes are fat. You know, their eyes are fat and but no, they have no changes. Everything is going well the way they want. Bible says God has set them in slippery places. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Next verse, verse 4. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. When you talk about discipline, we talk about fasted life. They make you seem like the strange person. And they are the ones that are strange children. It's amazing. You know, he that speaketh truth, you know, makes himself a prey. Because this is what Jesus went through. You can't change the curriculum, folks. You can't change the curriculum. This is how to make the Christ life. For as much as Christ has suffered, you also have to suffer. And you embrace it. You embrace it. Bible says, count it all joy. When you fall. You count it all joy. Because you understand what's going to happen. Amen. Alright. So we understand that, you know, a militant mentality to enjoy the pleasure of doing God's will. This is the armor. I arm myself that I want to do God's will. I seek not my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's what I want to do all the time. Amen. And so through that decision, I'm going to suffer. Suffer just means deny myself certain pleasures for a time. But it's only temporary, brethren. It's for a time. When you look at eternity, it's for a time. Like Pastor gave a lovely example in that weekly rema, about Joseph. When he was sold into slavery, we don't know what age, he was 17, but we don't know when he met Potiphar's wife along the way, you know, and she said, lie with me. He didn't. And he suffered. He suffered for it. For not doing the right thing, for not doing the wrong thing. He suffered. So you can see that it's a road, everybody that is anybody in the kingdom. Just men that are made perfect. It's a road everybody has gone. So why do you want to go back from that road? It's a straight highway that takes you to life. Amen. And we see that in due time, after years, he got a beautiful wife, daughter of a priestess, daughter of the priest of On or something like that. Okay, beautiful wife, and then you know he got everything back. What's the big deal? Amen. Let's pay the price, brethren. Amen. Let's pay the price. That's the will of God for us. You know, and like the apostle said in Peter in Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to 19. Look at it. Acts 5, 17 to 19. Quickly. I mean to round up. Acts 5, 17 to 19. Thank you. Then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with what? Indignation. Next verse. And they laid their hands on the apostles, put them in the common prison. Suffering. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, he told them to go. All right. And they went on. All right. Next, but jump to verse 40 for time. 40. Yeah. 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, suffering again. And commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. Verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, doing what? Doing what? Rejoicing that they were counted what? Worthy to what? Suffer shame for his name. Because your shame is going to be turned to fame and glory on the other side. Amen. Both in this life and the life to come is a win-win. Godliness is profitable unto things in this life and the life to come. It's a question of time. So, brethren, let's go through it. No, it's just a function of time. And no, and let's trust God to help us to fulfill. I believe that I'm going to stop here. You know, let's trust God to enable us to be faithful to God to the very end. Don't turn back. Don't shrink back. You, if you understand the fact that God Himself allowed it. It is, you know, it's the devil is the root. God doesn't tempt. It's the devil that is the root of all persecution. It's not even men. Men are instruments in the devil's hand. It's not coming from them. So when you're going to respond, you must respond with your eyes on the devil. Amen. And so when your eyes are on the devil, you know, you understand that, you know, God allowed it. Because there is no temptation that has come to you that is not common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful in that he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear. And the question is, what are you able to bear? Have you been eating as you ought to? Have you been exercising as you ought to? Because that is done. It's not going to come based on what you are now. It's going to come based on what you should be. What you should be, what by virtue of the time God has given you, will be ready in Jesus' name. All right. So it is that allows us, you know, when we're ready to understand that, then you know, whatever has come is because you are able to overcome it. God has put enough of God, enough of Christ inside you to overcome that thing. That's why it's been allowed in the first place. Just like a teacher would teach, do revision, and then allow you to do the exam. He wants you to pass the exam. He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to pass the exam. But if he wanted you to fail, he wouldn't teach you at all. Then give you the exam. Then be laughing when you're not doing well. Now that's that. And we don't have teachers like that in Jesus' name. Amen. The teacher will teach you. Do revision. Go over it. Do you understand any question? Then give you pass question. Then set the exam. He wants you to pass. If that is a man, how much more the God of heaven and earth? He wants you to walk all over the devil, beat him black and blue. And you know what? He's using Satan to further his purpose for you and for his kingdom. You know why? Because everything Satan is doing, you know, he is going to pay for it. So God is allowing it to refine you and purify you and make you better and bring out more of Christ in you, then he's establishing a solid legal case with you to incarcerate Satan forever. You know, so the two are working together. We don't have time to look at Second Thessalonians. They're working together. So ultimately, brethren, you are a winner. You are an overcomer. Amen. You are. Just continue in the word. Continue in prayer, using the life of God. Continue in the love of God and maintain unity. And God will glorify himself in our lives with much fruit. Amen.
Well done, Pastor Kunle. Please give him a super clap offering. My voice is good in Jesus' name. Amen. I was somewhere over the weekend and I was overexposed to the air conditioner, so it's affected my voice. But I'll be fine. Amen. If you can hear me, give the Lord a wave offering. Amen. Okay. That tells me it's all right. Amen. That was a lovely Bible study. Don't your neighbor say you're appointed unto affliction. I saw that people were not. Don't your neighbor say the Bible says you are appointed unto affliction. I know well. Affliction is not my portion. I reject it in Jesus' name. Unfortunately, you cannot reject this one. Amen. No, actually, you know, the truth about the matter is that it's all a part of the Christian life. Amen. Although we don't over-focus on that because, like Pastor Kunle rightly said, God's mercy and grace is sufficient to overcome all the afflictions. And the afflictions are for a purpose. On one hand, to refine you, to really make you more humble, you know, and to make you like, you know, to exercise your heart, because when you face affliction, that's what God was trying to tell Paul. Paul said, "Take this thing away from me." God said, "You don't understand." He said, "I can't. I'm not going to take it away, you know. But you're going to overcome it. You see, you don't overcome it by my taking it away." You overcome it by getting more grace, by becoming more humble. You now get more grace, and that more grace you get will now be sufficient to overcome it. If I took it away, your humility will not increase and you won't get more grace. If I just took it away and I didn't let you go through it, you're not going to come out with greater grace. I want you to have greater grace so that you become more like me. So that's on one hand. And then the second hand, like Pastor Connie said, because as God can have the legal basis to punish the devil. It's very important to understand these things. So when these challenges come into our lives, we understand that it's ultimately for the glory of God and to perfect us. One other thing I want to say, I don't know if Pastor Conley said that, but you know, you know, in the book of James, it says that, count it all joy, willing to fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, excuse me, and wanting nothing. What perfects us is not the suffering by itself. What perfects us is the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit that we use to overcome the suffering. It's a very important mindset. So you don't become affliction-minded. Don't become tribulation-minded. It's not the tribulation alone by itself that perfects you. It is the blood of Jesus that you use, the word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the affliction. So the affliction is just like a catalyst. It doesn't really take part in the reaction. It only speeds it up. I mean, you know what a catalyst is. Those of us with a little bit of chemistry, you know, don't mind the chemistry people, but praise the Lord. So when it comes, you understand, okay, that's what's happening. Then you can count it all joy. See, if you don't understand what's happening, you can't count it all joy. You feel very miserable. But when you understand what's happening, you say, okay, Lord, that's what's happening. Then I go back to God and I ask God for more mercy and grace, you know, and I get the grace and I go back, I overcome the thing. Then I come through it. So when I come out more refined. I come out, you know, with greater virtues of humility, of wisdom, of love, and everything, you know. And also, it makes me to something that came to my mind just now. Yes, it helps me increase in compassion. See, what happens is that when you yourself have gone through a tough time and you've used the mercy of God and the grace of God to overcome it, when other people are going through a difficult time, you can identify. You can be touched with the feeling of their infirmities because you yourself have gone through it. That's why Jesus is such a good high priest. Why? He was tempted in every way like as you are, yet without sin. So Jesus can, he doesn't agree with your sin, but he can sympathize with you. You know, and I think that's one of the things that's very missing today. Many Christians are selfish and self-centered. They can't identify with the sufferings of others, especially we faith people. You know, don't mind him, he doesn't have faith. But it's not that, it's not like that. It's true, his faith may be weak, but your own faith too used to be weak, remember? And it took the mercy and the grace of God to help you. So you now want to go and help that person whose faith is weak. You don't look down on them. You don't despise them. You don't criticize them. You're touched with the feeling of their infirmities, so you are motivated to pray for them and help them, rather than to look down upon them. So it's one of the reasons why God allows us to go through all of these things, to deal with the devil on one hand, and to refine us on the other hand, by using his word and his spirit, and the blood, of course, you know, to overcome them. So it's not that everybody says tribulation doesn't perfect you. It is the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit that you use to overcome the tribulation that perfects you. Let's stand to our feet. Very important. So don't get tribulation minded. It's important to understand tribulation has its place. Through more tribulation we enter the kingdom. But we must not think that it's a tribulation by itself. See, Lord, that's another wrong mentality that the church has imbibed down through the centuries. You know, we can't be perfect except we suffer. It's true. That statement on its own is true. You know, however, it's not the suffering that perfects us. It's the word of God that we use to overcome the suffering that perfects us. Very, very, very critical truth. So you don't glorify the suffering. You glorify the God who gives you the grace by his blood, his word, and his spirit to overcome the suffering. So my focus is not on the suffering. My focus is not on the tribulation. My focus is on the God who helps me to overcome them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Ask him to help us. Ask him to help us. If you want to really reign with God, he says, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. If you're going to grow spiritually into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and reign in heaven, you're going to go through suffering. That's the way the track is laid. Don't let anybody deceive you. You're going to go through it. So you need to have the mindset, you know, a warrior mentality that, okay, yes, Lord, I understand why, and I'm ready to go through it. And I will go through it and I'll overcome it by your mercy and your grace. Are you listening to me? Christians who don't suffer don't reign. If you don't suffer, you won't reign. Because you will not be accounted worthy. In fact, you will not have the disposition. You will not have the humility. You will not have the compassion to be able to reign. It's very interesting. God's throne is called the mercy seat. It's only people who have learnt to use the mercy of God to overcome and have shown mercy to others qualified to sit on it. That's why it's called the mercy seat. A person who doesn't have a revelation of the mercy of God will not qualify to sit on that throne. Because he'll become a tyrant. And God will not allow any tyrant on the throne. So you need to understand that. You need to understand that. Talk to God this morning. God wants you to reign with him. He doesn't just want you to get born again, you know. He wants you to reign. He wants you to be like him. But you have to go through this process. You have to go through this process. We have to go through this process. There's no, you can't avoid this. That's why he used that very unattractive, seemingly unattractive expression. When he says, you know, you are appointed thereunto. And it's not very, very interesting to see somebody is appointed unto affliction. But that's the truth. You know, in order to, you know, overcome and become like Jesus. That's how Jesus, he too went through it. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplication. He suffered, you know, in everywhere like as we are, but yet without sin. Let's talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are the peace that guards my heart,
my help in time of need.
You are the hope
that leads me on and brings me to my knees.
For here
I find you waiting,
and here I find
relief.
So with all my heart
I worship,
and unto you I sing. Hallelujah.
You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need.
You are the hope
that leads me on
and brings me
to my knees.
With all my heart,
I worship,
and unto you,
on your heart.
heart. Raise your other hand to God. See, God is the peace that guards our hearts. All the time, but especially the time of tribulation. And there we find Him waiting. He brings us to our knees. It humbles us and causes us to seek Him in prayer. And then when we do, He helps us to overcome. Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning that has come through Your servant, reminding us that truly we are appointed unto affliction because You are taking us to Your throne. We thank You for Your blood, Your word, and Your spirit, by which You enable us to overcome every affliction that You allow to come our way. We know You're a faithful God. You will never allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. But with every affliction, with every temptation, You make a way of escape by watching and praying. You give us mercy. You give us grace to overcome them. And ultimately, You make us more like Yourself. Greater humility, greater compassion, so that we can reign with You and be a blessing to the people around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Lamba tolo mato plomo shele kipo fres. Lamba tolo mato lamba do fru 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 shinka. Lamba tolo mato lamba tolo mato lamba do fru fru shinka fru fru shinka. Lamba tolo mato tolo lamba do fru 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 shinka fru fru tolo mato lamba. Kana mbusto tolo mato fru shinka. Mbak tolo lamba tolo mato fru do fru fru shinka ara do fru. Tolo mato fru ne. Tolo mato shinka ara do fru. Tolo mutufrine, tolo mutushke friningara, tolo mutufrine ufrine, tolo mushingar, lombro dofre dofreshe, zele, lombro kromo tolo mushagromo, tolo mutufre dofreshe, lombro kromo tolo mutufre dofreshingaros. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap on. For You alone, for You.
For You alone.